Hello, well,
I'll just tell it and you'll see. I won't bury the lead.
Great. Hello and welcome to episode 339 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam in Vancouver.
Wonderful Vancouver. Vancouver. Wonderful Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
New government.
Yeah.
Do you care? Like, brand new today, like right now. It still has that new government smell.
No, I don't care.
Yeah, and me neither.
Yeah.
I'm surprised I heard about it.
Yeah, me too, to be honest. I watch the news almost never.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the good news is, though, you can expect your wife's salary to skyrocket.
Oh,
and
yes.
The price of houses to plummet.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm anxiously waiting by my door for that to happen.
Yeah, yeah. It should be around noon o'clock, I'm guessing.
Okay.
If all goes according to plan. What's going on, Adam?
Kids are out of school.
Oh, school's out for summer.
School's out for summer. Today is their first official day of not needing to go to school. So that's hence the sleep in. So I got to sleep in till 8.
I see. And yeah. And so how long until you hear the phrase, "Daddy, I'm bored"?
Yeah. Probably pretty soon.
Right around the same time as the government stuff kicks in?
Yeah, by lunchtime, yeah. I'm sure we'll be out and doing some adventures today. And, yeah, this year there'll be some summer camps and stuff. So, no, we'll keep them busy.
Good.
Yeah. Oh, baseball. I forgot to tell you, baseball update for what's going on.
Oh, yours sounds more exciting than mine.
We crushed our league playoffs with a 4-game run differential, because that's how they're keeping track to see who went to the finals and whatnot. Four games, run differential total, plus 40 for our team.
In 4 games, so that's plus 10 average.
Yeah. Hey, good math. Yeah,
no, I'm good at that.
Yeah, and we're playing 4-run max per inning, and except for the last inning was a 7-run max inning, although we never really used it because there was not a game close enough, so we would stop.
So you play 5 innings?
Usually 4. There was maybe one we got 5, but they're mostly 4, so we were scoring our run max the majority of the time.
All right, that sounds like fun.
We had a 16 buzz game, not one run allowed. At 8-year-old baseball, that should not happen. But
no.
A combination of our team playing good defense and their team striking out equaled a 16-0 game.
And related note, most of the kids on that team are going to retire this year.
Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately not, I don't think. I think
they've done. They have been dispirited, and they will not play.
we'll see. Yeah, the team... the team that we beat 16-0, just didn't seem to have a steep learning curve as this season.
It seems like it sounds like you probably needed extra scorebooks to keep track of all those runs. And you know where I would get them?
Ooh,
Amazon.
Yeah,
that's what I would do. I'd click through our site to get those extra scorebooks.
Yeah, sweet.
Yeah, do it.
A patient of mine, gave me, like, who's a ball player. He's only 18. He plays college ball. But I was telling him about you know, the fact that he's a longtime patient. And his parents aren't everything. So it's a family I know pretty well. But I was telling him that Jack was playing baseball now, and he brought me into work a couple of days ago. He works at a baseball store too. But he brought me into work.
Which baseball store? Give him a plug here.
It's called MVP Athletics.
Yes, I know it. New West.
Yeah, it's actually now right by my office in Langley. They have one big one by my office. They've moved into a new spot. It's just one big sort of superstore, baseball store. But it is a fantastic baseball store for those in Langley who also listen to our podcast, which is probably no one. but anyways, he brought me a bat, one of his Little League bats. He played Little League, and he's a very good ball player. Like I say, playing college ball now. and he brought me in one of his bats. Jack has a 30-inch bat, and he brought me a 29 of the same weight, which was really nice. And Jack loves it. And anyway, so but the grip was a little worn down, so I got a one of these fancy lizard skin baseball grips. Have you seen them?
Yeah. Are they called lizard skins or called something else?
The company that makes them is called Lizard Skin, and they've cornered the market. Yeah. They've got all the MLB endorsement stuff and whatever. So I bought them one of those, and I looked on Amazon first. This is the Amazon part, and they had them, but surprisingly nothing on Prime, and the shipping on them is pretty expensive. So I got it at the MVP baseball store instead.
You gotta do it.
Yeah. So there you go. Lizard Skin. There's your plug too. So hopefully they'll be a sponsor next week.
Yes. No, we some of the guys on our team, I think some of the guys use them.
Well, they make like pro level ones, which are just tiny, tiny thin. And then they make kind of a mid-level one. And then they make like a more cushy one for kids. So they have like three different sort of thicknesses. But anyways, they're pretty cool. They come in all the crazy colors and stuff, which the kids like.
If you're swinging a metal bat, then yes, I highly recommend them.
Yeah.
So the major league guys, some of them use them, you know, on the wood bats. Well, they all use wood bats, but some of them use the lizard skins.
The super thin stuff, yeah.
Yeah. On a wood bat, I got to tell you, I'm not a huge fan.
And you use pine tar?
I'm a pine tar guy. They make fun of the old guy because that's me. I'm the old guy.
Yeah.
All the kids make fun of me for a number of things. Gray hair, one of them.
Being old is one of them. Yeah.
Being old, but still in the top three in batting average on the team. So quiet down, fellas. Quiet down.
Yeah.
Yeah. They can. Yeah. Your dad's friend is out hitting you. So how about that?
Nice.
Leading the team in doubles too. So
yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Also second in stolen bases. We can keep going here. So
okay.
Your dad's friend has more stolen bases than you. So. No, but they do. They first of all, no batting gloves. I'm a no batting glove guy.
Okay.
Full stop. And they all like to use the Tiger Stick, which is like essentially it's like this pine tar stick, but it's not really pine tar. It's some other kind of I don't know what it is. It's been around forever. I just don't happen to like the Tiger Stick so much. I like the old school pine tar.
Okay.
Like the liquid stuff you put on the
rag.
Yeah,
you put it on the rag, and yeah, I get you. Yeah.
And here's the move: if you're listening and you're swinging wood bats, do yourself a favor when you get the new stick, get some coarse sandpaper, like 60 grit approximately, and just score the handle a little bit, like just take the sheen off. Because usually like the handle isn't lacquered, like the rest of the bat might be lacquered or finished or whatever, but the handle will be bare, but it'll be sanded pretty smooth. So if you go ahead and score it a little bit, and I kind of do it like in spirals around, use the edge of the sandpaper just to give a little bit of grit to it, and then when you mix in you put the pine tar about halfway up the bat. You don't put it on the handle.
Right, right.
Although the kids do. I don't understand this. But you put it up there so you can grab onto it, and then when you grab onto the sanded handle with the scored handle, you're going to get a great grip.
Gotcha. So, all right.
Just one of the things they make fun of me for, though, the pine tar.
Yeah.
But I don't care. Love it.
Yeah, and it's more of a North American thing. I don't know.
Even the imports, the other imports use the Tiger Stick, and I don't know why. It's the smell. For me, it's the smell. I love the smell of pine tar.
Okay.
Smells like victory, which we did not get last week. By the way,
no,
we got swept at home, which is kind of unbelievable. But we had a bad week, so. I don't want to be the guy who just reports all the good news about the baseball. We had a horrible week, and we're going to regroup, and we have a couple weeks off now because of I don't know why. A couple reasons. I do know why. It just doesn't matter. Two weekends off, and then we'll come back. We're going to regroup and finish the season strong. So
great. Thanks for the update. Thanks for keeping it real as well.
That's important.
The honesty is appreciated.
Had a kid's birthday party. My daughter had her birthday this week, and so we had had a birthday party for her friends from kindergarten. So that, you're looking at seven 6 year olds kicking around the house.
Mm-hmm.
That's a gong show. What? I think we're just done with birthday parties now.
Okay.
What happened?
What did they do to your house?
Oh, no. Well, you don't want to hear about that part. Let's just say not all the boys have the greatest aim in the bathroom.
Oh no.
Yeah, so there was some fire hosing there, but you know, fortunately it's all tile, so you know, cleaned up okay. But no, just in general, no real specific stories, but wow, that's not fun.
Okay.
Not an experience you shared? Was it all delightful when your kids were six?
I don't remember.
Mm-hmm. You're that's blocking only, it out.
Yeah, it's. I don't remember. Jack had a home birthday party, I think, at six, and I don't remember it being a disaster. I remember he got, sick after and was barfing all day, so there's that. Yeah. That's all. I remember that, but, yeah, I don't remember the kids being particularly troublesome.
But now let's unpack this, because my wife had an interesting observation by accident yesterday.
Okay.
Because we actually ended up having two birthday parties. The day before we had the family and family friends birthday party where all those kids came over, and the aunts and uncles and the grandma and stuff. And then that's where I make the hamburgers in the shape of the kids' first letter of their name.
Right.
And then so yesterday was all the kids from kindergarten. And so so two different birthdays, but there was one kid. There's two different kids, but one at each birthday that were pretty much the same kid.
Okay.
Different kids, but behavior wise, their behavior is just terrible. Wow, I can't. What are you doing? And my wife made what I think is an astute observation, and it caused me to kind of look at my perspective of good kids and bad kids. And I want to run this by you and tell me what you think.
Sure.
Well, you have kids who miss, like wild kids who misbehave, and they're just generally wild.
Yeah.
It happens.
Yes.
I tend to forgive a lot of that if the kids are somewhat athletic. And I don't mean athletic like, oh man, the kid's got a six pack and, you know, I mean, like, if they can do stuff, if they're ripping around the house, but it's clear that they are capable of throwing a ball or shooting a puck or something like that, I somehow give them a much wider berth.
Okay.
And the kids who are, I have to choose my words carefully because we're politically correct now.
Okay.
Kids who are completely uncoordinated. Newborn horses. And we're talking about kids are 8 years old, some of them, right?
Right.
I am so unforgiving, and these kids just grind on my nerves. Same with my wife, though.
Okay.
So what is it? Is it me, or do you feel the same way?
I never really thought about it that way, but there's probably a slight prejudice towards the coordinated.
Yeah. Okay,
and, but so you, and I don't know that it's as big of a problem for me, because there's a lot of kids, you know, because I've been coaching the 8 year old baseball, and there's coordinated kids that personality wise that either they're defiant or they're like, for me it's all about how they at that age or seven or eight, it's about how they talk to each other or talk to me. That is a way bigger variable than how good they are at baseball. I don't care if they're good. If they have the wrong attitude towards each other, towards a teammate, if they turn and rip on a teammate, or if they talk back or mock a coach, then that's the deal breaker for me. It's more about respect than it is about that other part, the being good or the coordination.
Respect is, yeah, I understand that part. But
number one thing for me, but that.
No, me too.
Yeah.
I mean, your opinion is going to be colored because your son is both coordinated and not a wild kid.
Yeah, he's very respectful. Yeah, that's true too. So I have a hard time just understanding it when I see it. And because my daughter is the same way as well, like for both of them, I've just not experienced it on a personal level.
Yeah.
So I'm aggravated by all of it.
Fair enough.
By being wild, by any of it,
Yeah. So these kids, anyway, these kids are just awful. Like, they just can't. Athletically, I don't know why. I don't know what to tell you. Like, sorry, kids. You know, maybe you'd be more comfortable just doing arts and crafts in the living room while the rest of us go outside and kick the ball around.
But I will add one caveat to this, which is the combination. So here's where I agree with you for sure, is that the combination of being disrespectful or ripping on teammates and also not being good or not being coordinated, being a weaker player, makes me twice as mad. So there is some,
yes,
definitely some truth to it. Like, you can't be rude and disrespectful and be terrible.
I wonder if it's because there's a couple of kids I've been helping out with, the T-ball kids that my son and my daughter play on, that their little team. I've been helping them out a little bit when the coach isn't there. And there's a couple of kids there, a couple of the older kids who they're exactly those kids. One is, I wouldn't call him defiant, but he's a little bit like, he's at the high age for this group, and he's very talented, so it's kind of boring for him.
Mm-hmm.
So consequently, he doesn't really engage like he should, which is, mm-hmm, fair, because he should move up.
Right.
But then he's got his friend who, same age, even more defiant, but cannot play. Like, does not have the skill set.
Right. So you give the one a little bit more of a pass for sure.
Because I find that if I apply myself a little bit, I can engage him. Like, I can basically trick him into caring, essentially.
Right.
But not even really that. But I can engage him. I can push him harder and say, okay, here's what we're going to do. Like, I expect more from you. And those kids tend to jump in and say, yeah, I can do it. Whereas the other kid, he can't. Because, like, he's already at the limits of what he can handle.
Right.
You're not going to encourage him at all.
Yeah. I agree with you. 100%. So,
I just start the chant. Quit, quit, quit.
Yeah, no more ball. No. I have a photography story related to baseball. Well, related to our baseball last weekend.
Okay.
So it's not a typical story that you're expecting of me taking photos. It started out that way. I brought my little Sony RX100 camera in my pocket to the ball field for the last day of the tournament. We were going to have two games, likely be in the final, which we were. And then afterwards, I thought, yeah, well, let's, you know, after it's over, let's grab a team photo. This will be the last time that this team is together. And I like to have just kind of a snapshot of the kids, whatever, you know, just a sort of on the field team photo, like they do after the Canadian Olympic team wins the gold medal. I was thinking this is about the same thing, winning the 8U Richmond minor tournament championship. That's about the same, right? So,
right.
Or in the kids' minds, anyway. So
sure.
So anyway, so I took an on-field photo, and me and the head coach are kind of cleaning everything up. We're the last two there, and then, you know, I head back with the kids to the car, carrying a whole slew of all different things, right? Pockets full of all sorts of stuff. Get back to the car.
Well, no, so the parents, after you guys were done, they all helped you carry the equipment back.
Oh, everybody bailed so quick. So
kidding. It's like, so who pulled the fire alarm, everybody?
Yeah. So of course, you know, we're carrying everything back, and I've got ball bags, and Jack's got something, but, you know, he's next to useless when it comes to, like, bringing stuff back to the car. So I've got a whole bunch of different things. I think Sarah's got something. But anyways, pockets are stuffed with a whole bunch of different things. I had brought a speaker to the ball field, like a Bluetooth speaker to play tunes, like, while they're warming up and stuff. So anyways, I'm get back to the car, and then we start driving home. We had somewhere else to go. Oh, we were going to wrestling that day. The WWE was in town, so we're going to go straight to wrestling. And anyways, we had a little bit of time, so I thought we'd head home. And then, you know, you do that move where you start patting yourself down just to check got everything. So I'm patting myself down, and I'm 5 minutes from the ball field in the car, and I'm that wallet check, keys are in the ignition clearly, speakers on the couch, I got hats, and they're on the driver's side seat, and I'm like, where's my little camera? And I'm patting myself down. I'm like, I know it was in my pocket when I left the ball field, and then I don't see it. I'm like, well, maybe it slid in between the seats. I'll just wait till I get home. I'm 2 minutes from home, and then I'll you know, I'll check the behind and under the car seat. So I'm get home, and I'm furiously kind of rifling through the under my seat, under the driver's side, and asking the kids, like, did they see, you know, anything fall out when I was walking? And everyone is like, no, what's wrong, Daddy? You know how you get that state of, like, all of a sudden, oh no, panic, right?
Yeah.
So I couldn't find it. It wasn't in the car. It wasn't in my pockets. Clearly, it had been dropped somewhere along the way from the dugout to where I got back to the car. So
hopefully on the grass.
Hopefully on the grass. So I, but it was in a case. So okay. It would have been fine. It was in a padded little low pro case that I have. So basically, we spun back around, went back to the ball field. I texted the coach because I thought he might be, he might have still been a few minutes behind me and possibly, picked it up along the way. If he saw it, he's like, no, I didn't see it. Sorry. So go back to the ball field and spend 10 minutes kind of scouring the path on the walk from the dugout to where our car was. Can't find anything. And so I'm very distraught because I'm like, oh, come on. Like, I'm super careful with my stuff. Mm-hmm. And just not something that I would just leave in the dugout. Clearly, it was dropped in my mind somewhere between the dugout and the car, just fell out of my pocket with all the stuff that was in there. So I say to the coach, because he has all the other coaches' emails, can you send out an email just asking, because the only people that were there was no one when we came back at the field. So it's basically our tournament ended. There was no ball after us. So nobody's really been there since. So somebody, hopefully a parent, a coach, somebody would have seen it and picked it up, right?
Right.
So I send out I send him a text. He sends out an email to all the coaches just asking if anyone has seen it. And then I wait a day and a half.
Ooh.
I waited a full day, and a coach from another team sent me an email saying, I think that maybe, like, it was very sort of open, and I think that maybe a parent from our team may have found your lost camera, and they CC'd the parent, a specific person on the team, at the same time as the email. I think they found your camera. You can contact them at the email above. And I'm like, okay, well, that's pretty specific, right?
Sure.
I mean, they gave an exact person's name, which made me think, okay, well, for sure they found it, right? So mm-hmm. So I send an email to that person. Again, wait a full day, no response, right? And I keep checking my email going, like, what's going on here? Like, I don't understand, right?
Yeah.
And then eventually, 2 days after the fact, I get a email response. Yeah, I found your camera. We can arrange some time to pick it up. And, here's my cell phone number, and you can, call or whatever. So then I call. No message, just rings till a stop. And then I text, and no response to the text. And then the end of the story has a happy ending. Eventually, the person got like the call display of my number, called me back, and then we arranged a pickup. But it was the weirdest, most bizarre lost and found kind of experience, in that if you picked up a camera like this, like, again, mm-hmm. Would you not, like, either you're keeping it or you're, in a pretty, like, you understand that someone's probably pretty panicked about this kind of loss, and you'd want to get back to them reasonably quickly, right? Within a few hours anyway.
Unless, now, in all fairness, they could have been on, like, episode 6 of Orange is the New Black and wanted to finish it first.
Yeah.
I could see it happening.
I certainly can't be mad at them. Like, they saved me. Like, and the where they found it was exactly where I thought, was on the walkway back towards the car, halfway between the ball field. They just were, as they were walking back to their car, they're like, yeah, it was just kind of by the sidewalk in the grass, and just thought, hey, that's a camera. And I thought I'll pick it up and see if it belongs to anybody. So It was like just one of those weird things where I guess my pocket was too full and it hopped out, and because I was carrying so much stuff, I didn't even realize that it had fallen uh-huh. out.
But their sense of urgency just did not exist.
No, and I sent them an email in the morning, and then I even in the email I said, could you please let me know either way whether you've got it or not, just so I know, and then wait 28 hours for a response.
Yeah, like you mailed it to Norway.
Yeah, it was strange. And then Lisa said, "Oh, you better check your camera to see if there's any weird photos on there." But clearly, no, there was no.
They
photo.
Deleted them. Yeah.
And the nice thing too about it was that I had only 4 pictures on it, so I was worried that you lose some photos. And the only pictures were the four photos that the my wife snapped game. Of me and the kids, and the other coach posed with the kids for the post game. So, but I wanted that photo, right? So, but sure. Of course, the guy who found it, you know, checked the images to see if, you know, he could locate who it was, and right away knew, hey, this is the ball team in our league that we just played, right?
Or so, a really creepy guy.
Yeah, or a really, really creepy guy. That's true.
Could go either way, but yeah, the likely supposition is that, hey, it's one of these guys' cameras.
Yeah, and the rationale that went through my mind, because I had given up. I was like, this camera's gone. You know, it took a day plus to get an email even suggesting that someone might have it. So in my mind, I had given up. I was like, this camera's gone. And then I had to roll through the possibilities of, do I replace it or do right. I really need it? Like, these were the thoughts going through my mind. I've had it for about a year, and I convinced myself that I wasn't going to replace it. As much as I love that camera, I didn't think, first of all, I'd find another RX100, like the Series 1, for that price. Mm-hmm. So for under $300, I didn't think I'd find it. And I wasn't going to spend $600 to get an RX2 or 3 or $700 to do essentially what I do with this camera. Like, it is a really nice luxury to have. But if I couldn't find it for under $300, I decided I wasn't going to bother replacing it.
Do you think, now, the moral, the takeaway for me of this story is, now I've been in a situation, not specifically with a camera, but the number of things that just kind of go missing. And in this case, do you think we have too much stuff?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, me too.
Way too much stuff.
There's times I do that, like, you know, like just staying with the baseball theme. It's like I have two baseball gloves, like, that I use on a daily basis.
Right.
Because I play first base and I play every other position. And so, you know, you can't use the same glove. So there's times where, like, in a game where I'll play four different positions and one of them is first base. And so at the end of the day, if I don't remember to go in the dugout and get both of my gloves, it's very easy to leave one behind.
Right.
That's just one, but everything else is the same. We have so many things, and this is why I pare things down. Like you said, hey, do you have your wallet? I do not own a wallet for that reason.
Right.
I can't stand it. I have a rubber band that money goes around my driver's license, and that is all I have.
Well, and the other mistake that I felt that I made in this scenario was I didn't intend to take any photos at the baseball game other than the post-game team photo, which is, again, for me and for the other coach, and I don't know, I might send it around to the other parents. I don't know if I'll bother or not, but I could have gotten...
Well, all but one parent.
Yeah, exactly. I could have got pretty much close to the same photo if my wife had just taken it on her iPhone. Like, it, there wouldn't be a hugely recognizable difference for what we were doing as far as a deep focus. Would that be the right term?
Like, sure.
a large depth of field shot of a team photo in a scenario where it's midday sun. Like, we weren't going to get a great shot no matter what camera we used. So this would have been perfectly acceptable as a team photo on a phone shot. So the fact that I brought that camera, I rationalized that it's so small, and it's that one more thing. It's one more thing to worry about, one more thing to lose in this case. And I thought we snapped four photos in that sequence, and I did not take another photo the whole day and didn't intend to. So why did I bring it in the first place?
That happens. That happens. I brought my camera out last night, went and met some friends at a beer garden in town, and hauled my 40D and the 30mm lens in my backpack. Didn't even take it out of the bag. Did not feel the urge to take a single photo, and just carried it all the way home and thought, what would I do that for? You know, but it happens. It happens.
It does,
you got to bring it.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, I got a new camera.
Oh.
Yesterday.
Is this the waterproof or
whatever? No, I didn't get it. No. I got a Polaroid.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
An actual Polaroid 600, an old-timey, in the box, brand new looking, used though. I don't know when it was from. Looks like the 80s, I suppose. I haven't even checked out yet.
Yeah.
It was a gift from a listener.
Wow.
One of our listeners, he asked me not to mention his name.
From Germany? It come from another country?
Canada.
Are you kidding?
No.
Someone shipped it from Canada?
Yeah, it wasn't even just the Polaroid, it was the two, the double P's, a Polaroid and a pencil sharpener.
Why?
So they listened. Well, they listened to the show a long time ago when I talked about my affinity for pencils and old school pencil sharpeners and how you can't find like the old like this you know the ones you had in school.
Yeah.
You can't buy them here.
Oh.
Even at flea markets you can't find them.
Okay.
And I really appreciate the design and the functionality of those old school pencil sharpeners and the pencil itself. I like pencils instead of pens, blah blah blah. And they had one and appreciated you know some advice that I had given.
Yeah.
And fired off just as a thank you. Gave me their old super heavy, like very very heavy pencil sharpener. It's a desk mounted thing.
Yeah.
And threw the Polaroid in there, and
wow,
it's fully
that's
functioning.
Pretty cool. The
yeah.
shipping must have cost $800.
No, but it did take a little over, I think around 2 months.
Wow.
So I sent an email, I got it yesterday, I sent an email and there it said, oh wow, I'd actually given up on it. And I said, yeah, well no, that's how it goes. So it was, I think it was around, it was under $30 it said on the post.
Cool, oh, that's pretty cool. Now, as far as film goes, can you just buy the Polaroid film on Amazon?
You have to buy, well, The Impossible Project is what it's called. They've started remaking the Polaroid film again.
Okay.
And so you can buy that. It's not cheap.
Yeah.
I think the eight pack cartridge is around 17 euros.
Oh my goodness.
It's just reasonable because they're big pictures, right? Like the
yeah.
like the ones that your daughter has.
Yeah, they're tiny, yeah.
They're about a buck a shot, I'm guessing.
Yeah, yeah, and they're probably a quarter the size of what you're talking about.
Yeah, so at $2 a shot, and then I mean, I don't know what a used Polaroid cost. Like over here, they can actually be relatively pricey, like $40 or something like that, probably 50
yeah,
euros.
On Craigslist, they depends on what it is, but they generally, I find, range the Polaroid brand ones from $30 to $50, something mm-hmm. in that range, yeah.
So in terms of, like, my daughter really, one of her friend's dads had one of the ones that your daughter has. And she liked it, the little Fujifilm one, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And she loved it. She thought that was great, and she wanted one. And I said, well, we'll see. Maybe we'll get you one. But I really wanted a Polaroid instead. And that way, you know, not having to buy the 100. What does those cost? $80? $100?
Yeah, depending. But, yeah, usually around $80. You can.
So I'd rather just buy film for it instead.
Yeah.
So very excited. Thanks. I'm guessing at this point the listener in question knows who we're talking about.
Sure.
And just want to go ahead and say thanks again. I can't tell you how much it means to me, and I look forward to it's in my old camera collection already. It's sitting there, and it's going to get some use very, very soon.
And so will the pencil sharpener.
Already used it.
Awesome.
Yeah, I already sharpened. Like I was breaking pencils off and resharpening them just because. No, I am that big of a nerd.
Awesome.
Because, yeah, my kids looked at it, like, they had no idea what that even was. Like, how do you text on that thing? Can you get Tinder on that pencil sharpener? I was like, you're way too young to know it. But I actually don't know. Don't tell your mother.
Right.
Yeah. So there you go. That's my new camera, and I'll
awesome.
Keep you updated. I'm going to probably order some of the film this week. Get, like, the three pack's around $50.
I would really like a Ferrari.
I don't know if it works that way.
Oh, okay. Sorry. It's worth a shot. So, yeah,
you might get a Fiero.
When I was little, I used to always look out the window and wait for a Ferrari to come in my driveway. And I've been waiting for 41 years. I don't know. Ferris Bueller's Day Off, something along
mm-hmm.
those lines. Yeah.
Ferrari so, GT yeah. California.
Yeah, so yes. Anyone who's got an extra one of those hanging around, or maybe not, just a whole whack load of money that they are looking to spend on their favorite podcast co-host. Just send me an email and I'll send you my address.
Last year I was in Maranello in the Ferrari factory, met Mr. Ferrari himself, and he did not even give me a toy Ferrari even.
Mm, not even a 20% discount card or something.
Not even something like that. No, we were in amongst the garage where they fix up all the vintage Ferraris, and so this Ferrari was going way back, like every era. It was pretty cool because they had, you know, they had some of the the Miami Vice era ones and like the Magnum PI and then of course the old ones and whatnot. So just from all over the place. So it was a pretty amazing place to go and walk around. I was kind of hoping for a little, you know, toy Ferrari for my son, but I had to go buy that myself.
Okay, in the gift shop.
Yeah, in the gift shop. Yeah, which was across town. So, no, across the street. It was across the street in Maranello, I think, if I remember correctly. Yeah. So all I'm saying is, don't get your hopes up on the Ferrari.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Lamborghinis. You're probably coin flip. You might get one of those.
Dime a dozen. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what you should hope for.
Okay.
All right. Let's talk about some photo stuff. Did you shoot anything interesting besides losing your camera?
Just that. Yeah. That was it.
We shot. I want to be quick on this bit, but. I actually shot some white background portraits this morning for that ongoing job I've had for the last couple of years. I've had it's a couple of years now, coming on a couple of years, where basically I shoot headshots for like a company's, it's actually a school, a university, for their website, for all their personnel. And so every time they hire someone new, they come by and get their portrait taken.
Okay.
But the point is, it has to match. Like it's the white background, like the black and white, like... It has to be cohesive with the rest of the website, and so generally I have a setup. So I spend far more time on the setup than I do on taking the pictures at this point.
Right,
like they're in and out. The people come in, and I get paid per person,
head,
right?
Per head.
Yeah, exactly. And so they come in and like, hey, should I take my shoes off? I was like, no, you don't have time. Like, we're gonna be done. Right. I'll be done before your shoes are off. So just let's do this, which is kind of weird to me.
Okay.
Like when you show up, don't you expect like, all right, well, it's going to be an hour, you know, but legitimately door to door, you know, walk downstairs to the studio, back up is 10 minutes.
Right. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. They're not paying the bill themselves, so I don't think they feel cheated, and nor should they. It's one of those situations of, yeah, I've put the work in ahead of time.
Right.
And now I'm saving you time. But that, and then we shot on my daughter's birthday party. At the aforementioned, we shot the plan was to shoot like a little, like have a photo booth kind of thing.
Okay.
But not do the four pictures. I did not feel like doing that. I just wanted to get one shot of each of the kids with my daughter.
Right.
But we brought the dress-up trunk down, so all the kids got to pick.
Oh, yeah, that's fun. We did a similar thing at a birthday party for my daughter when she was 5 or 6, yeah.
Hot move.
It's great. We had all kinds of props, and it was a situation where there's a party room, so you're trapped in that party room for about 35 minutes after the gymnastics party or whatever it was, and it was like, all right, how do you keep them entertained in this small space for 45 minutes after you eat cake? And it was photo booth.
Well, that's what we did, but part of our deal was, I said, okay, we're going to do it at the beginning, and then in the grab bag, they're going to get that photo.
Oh, that's cool. So you're printing on the go.
No, well, our printer finally broke the other day, and I'm not going to replace it because I hate printers.
Right.
Cannot stand them. Wish they never existed. Would just much rather drive over to the drugstore, which is like a, 8-minute drive from my house. So we pop over to the DM, and so it's at one point, basically, we shoot, the photos, I load them onto a stick, and then just zip over, print them in store, and then zip back and put them in the grab bag for the kids to take home.
Gotcha.
Kids love it.
Yeah, that's sweet.
Yeah. So, other than that, no, nothing interesting. Monthly photo challenge this month.
Okay.
This week, this month, it's the same thing. This week is the monthly photo challenge for June. Hashtag Two Hosers Monthly Challenge on the Instagram. Still no news on the Facebook page, by the way.
Great.
I'm waiting to hear back from the guy who started it. I have not heard back.
Okay.
Could be me. Maybe he has your camera. I don't know.
He doesn't want to get back to us.
Yeah, just playing it close to the vest.
Yeah.
So the monthly challenge this month was summer, because I knew, summer would fall in this month. So let's have a look at some of the submissions. I think we got 10 this month.
Wow.
Does that sound right?
I would not have to quit if this was last month.
Right.
Okay.
But too bad you made the benchmark 11 this month.
Yeah, I had to increase it each month, so I'm still quitting.
Yeah, do it. All right, so let's have a look at the submissions. First up is Sunny D, 1978.
Awesome. I love it.
I'm actually not even 100% sure if this is for this month. I just see that it's posted in June, so I'm going to go ahead and assume.
I'm going to say yes, based on the content of this photo. It is a summer photo.
Yeah. I'm going to say it might be by accident, but I don't care. We're taking everything we can get at this point.
Okay. So what was the challenge last month?
Eyes closed in water.
Okay. Oh, so it could go either way.
Covering his bases.
No, I really like it. This photo stands out for me. I looked at all the photos, and I really like this photo.
Because why?
It's one of those moments, and the water looks great. The droplets, the eye. I like the composition. This could be a very wide shot, which is probably what we'd be used to seeing for this sort of photo. But I don't know. I think I like it better because it isn't what you would normally expect for this kind of shot. And there's just enough of the this is rule of thirds in terms of where the eyes fall and where the face falls in the frame. But it's great. Again, I don't know this kid or this body of water.
I like him because he's obviously athletic.
Yeah, exactly. So he's just a done deal for you.
He can do whatever he wants at this point.
But there's enough for us to know what's going on, but yet it's still obscured because really all you see is that water. Now, the water is far too blue for this to be a lake, so I'm guessing this is someone's swimming pool.
This looks like a pool to me. Is he coming out of the water or going in? Is he shooting from the bottom of the pool up?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either, but I'm just going to throw that out there as maybe. Yeah. You don't know.
Maybe.
Don't know.
Maybe he's got an incredibly clear underwater camera.
Could be.
Yeah, no, this All is, right. I don't, again, I don't know exactly, I can't pinpoint what exactly it is, but for the reasons I mentioned, I really like this photo.
As do I.
I would put this on your wall unless you have 1,000 better photos than this.
Oh, it's on my wall already.
Okay.
Wouldn't that be creepy? That would be creepy.
You have a whole Instagram wall of random people's photos.
You would have to, that would be a great gag to do. If one of your friends basically, like you're having a party and you just took one of your friends' Instagram feeds, printed them all out and just papered your walls with them or just the bathroom or something, just one room in your house, just completely covered it in his and didn't tell him.
Okay.
No? Too much effort, no reward?
Yeah, super creepy.
Yeah, creepy. No, definitely creepy. I would do it, but you're the only guy I know on Instagram, and you have 4 photos. And I can't see you being over here anytime soon.
No, not it wouldn't. I wouldn't see it. You'd have to send me an Instagram picture.
Your in-laws, however.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, they're coming apparently.
Yeah, so maybe we'll pull something off for them.
Great.
Yeah, we'll talk about that off the air. All right, next
picture.
One up. Yeah, we have a hibachi here.
Yeah,
not this a hibachi.
Very simple, and yet it screams summer to me.
Why?
Because you cook on the open flame in the summer.
You don't do this in the wintertime. You don't
That's
do
right.
it.
That's right. You just, well, I don't. I don't do it almost ever, but if I'm going to do it, it's going to be in the summer.
Do you still do the coals, the briquettes?
No, I don't.
Oh, you should. I mean, yes and no. Let me rephrase that. It's fun. Once in a while.
Yeah.
Like if you're like I got to tell you, you're like your life, much as your life was better when you didn't have a cell phone, in my opinion, if you had the time to light the briquettes and start the fire an hour and a half before you were going to cook the burgers, your life was pretty good. Like you think about that, like you're doing it right.
Yeah.
Now that being said, like for the first couple of years that I lived here in Germany, they were all about the real barbecues. In fact, generally, not even the coals. I mean, we coals are a thing, but they take the time to like make a fire, like a wood fire, and then those are the coals that you cook on.
Right.
And now, in the last few years, people are slowly adopting the gas barbecue because it is awesome. Let's be honest.
Yeah, it is awesome. I agree.
And cause we have barbecued in the winter, in the dead of like middle of January, with this setup. And it doesn't stay hot enough. Burns too quick and gets cold, and it's just no good.
The other thing I wanted to mention about this photo is that here's a situation like we were talking about last week about square crop, and being that there's sort of a circular you know, subject matter here, it works really well with the square crop.
Square peg, round hole. I'm hearing you.
Yeah, I like that combo. So there you go.
I like what I like specifically about this. All kidding aside, is that it feels like summer. We're excluding a lot of the stuff around the barbecue that we don't need to see. Like we get the idea what's going on, and the shutter speed is, in my opinion, is bang on here.
Yeah, for the way the flames look, it's awesome. So I'm guessing a pretty slow shutter speed.
Somewhere in the middle, like it's slow enough that we're getting a little bit of movement, but it's fast enough that it's not completely blurry.
Right. So what do you think? One hundredth of a second, something like that. One two hundredth of a second.
No, less than that. I'm going to say this is in the realm of one. Hard to say because it's not overexposed. We got good shadows. We got the flames are well exposed, so we got a good kind of a good dynamic range here. I'm going to say this is going to be, boy, it's like 1/60th.
Okay,
that's my
guess. Let us know, Gustav Siren.
Gustav Siren. All right. Next one, we have some expired film.
Okay, now I think I know the way you're going to go on this one because it's film and there's a film feel to it clearly. Film, digital, whatever, this is a great photo. It's not the film that makes this. It's just the moment that makes this.
Sure.
So I think I would like this photo no matter what camera it was shot on because this, again, I have a son and a daughter and this is just one of those... there's a good feeling here, even though obviously they're sitting, overlooking a lake. So sort of a dock on a lake. It's just, there's just enough of
Lake Elkhorn.
Here. Yeah. Lake Elkhorn. So this is a great moment and a situation where you don't need to see faces. You don't need to see anything. The way the little girl's kind of tilt is toward her brother and sort of, you know, their shoulders are shoulder to shoulder. This is a great photo, but in my opinion, doesn't matter. You could have point and shoot, phone, anything for this photo. It would be great.
Fully agree.
Okay.
If this were my kids, I would call this one, that brief moment between fights. And then right after this, one of them would be thrown off the dock.
Right.
So,
yeah.
No, okay. my kids are good because they're athletic, as we mentioned. But I feel the same way. I mean, we this far from perfect exposure, far from perfect colors, that even makes it better. You get everything you need right from this, J.C. Russo.
Yeah, good work.
Good job. All right, next one is brought to us by Jason Evans. Also like it. Spoiler alert, we're going to like all these. However, I like what's going on here. I like the color of the dress. I like the Die Schmetterling, Le Papillon.
Great.
Butterflies. Big league you there?
Well, you had German and French.
Yeah, that's how I do it.
Yeah.
Trilingual. And like the snow cone or the shaved ice or whatever we're calling it.
Yeah.
Like it, like the light. Like this is obviously not noon o'clock. This seems like it's later in the evening. Snow cone at the amusement park. There you go. And her hair being messy from the rides just makes it even better.
Yeah, and this to me screams of a photo I would have taken when my daughter was this age. It's just so, of course, I'm liking that, but it's just that, like the bright colors mixed with, you know, the backlit lighting on the crazy hair. Like it's a great little girl photo. Done simply, I'm guessing. Like, you know, grab your camera and snap it.
And scream summer.
Sure.
Like the dress, the color of the dress. To me, that's purple. Maybe it's blue. I don't know.
It's purple.
Yeah, and, I think it's purple.
Yeah, and then, yeah, the shaved ice. This is definitely a summer shot.
And on top of this, my daughter, if she sees this, will want that dress. It's got purple. It's got butterflies. It's got everything she loves all in one.
Sure.
So, good job, Jason. Next one. This one is a little bit different, not what we were expecting for summer.
Yeah.
This is kind of, hey, don't want to live here.
Okay.
No?
Yeah, it looks hot.
It looks hot out the way out there. So the mirage is, I think the mirage is the focus of the shot and the way that the perspective with the road going off and into the industrial area. I've been places like this. usually against my will.
Right.
But that's a different story. But so
this is not Vancouver.
No, I know what this feels like.
Yeah.
And so looking at this picture, that's what I like about this one is it really makes you feel what it's like to be there.
Yes.
And to get out of there.
Right.
So.
No, it's good. It's well done. Again, it's not going up on my wall, or maybe it's going up on yours. But yeah, it does. It's a well done photo in the sense that it does exactly what it's supposed to be doing, which is convey that what it's like to be there.
And it has a very, very sort of cinematic feel. Like this is Beverly Hills Cop 2. This
sure.
probably shot from in that movie.
Yeah,
screen. Yeah, if you haven't seen it lately, check it out. Check it out. This seems like the opening of Beverly Hills Cop 2. Okay. Not the opening. Second part. Anyways, all right, and another submission from J.C. Russo. Gonna love this guy's attitude.
Yeah, two. So yeah. Really, only 9 people submitted.
All right, half empty. But no, it's a macro shot of a daisy. Love the colors.
Yeah,
does it say summer
nice colors? Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. All right, let's move on. I'm gonna speed this up a little bit.
Okay.
Link shoots. I really like this one. Like the reflection in the lake.
Yes.
Don't know where this is exactly, besides being Solitude Mountain Resort. So I didn't, with Creekside Lodge, I didn't Google it.
Neither did I.
Looks like it's in Utah. Looks awesome. Looks like a place to be.
Agreed.
Okay. So anyways, I like what's going on. I'm guessing there's some photoshopping done to or lightrooming done to sort of mix out the levels, because generally the reflection in the lake will be much different exposure than the actual image itself. So I'm guessing there was some manipulation done, which is fully within your right to do so. I'm not calling you out, just saying good job. Like what's going on here.
Yeah.
All right. Next. Oh, summer's on the swing. Jason Evans.
I like it.
Yeah, also like it. And this hits very close to home. I have a few pictures of this myself.
Yeah, no, really nice. And I like it in black and white. It's just different. And it still screams summer based on the dress. And great facial expression, good perspective. I like this kind of angle that he's done. And you see enough of everything that you need to see. So.
And Jason, well, with very narrow depth of field, did you use a focus trap?
That's
what I'm wondering. Yeah. Focus trap, or did you go with the tracking?
Yeah. Could be either. From this angle, could be either.
I'm guessing photo trap. I'm not sure what Yashica Mat 124G is. I'm not sure what that is. I know the Yashica Electrico. What is it called? The range view camera. So I don't know if that's what he's getting at. In that case, I'm going to guess it's a focus trap.
Okay.
All right. Roger Dahlman submitted another black and white. It's from a long time ago, I'm guessing. And he used to live in Bavaria. I've heard of it. And Ernst was a frequent Volksmarcher.
Okay.
And we always look for him. So I like this one. I like the lighting on it. Like, I like how it falls off. And it works great in black and white. And just the character on this guy's face is really... really fantastic. And this was a film shot.
Yeah, it's a nice portrait.
Love it. And the last one, again, I'm this is from Marion Maid. I'm guessing, I think this was a lens flare shot that was submitted late.
Gotcha.
However, it's in June, so I'm going to go ahead and include it because he said Adam can't leave in the hashtag.
I checked that hashtag and there's about 8 million other photos.
I'm guessing that's not true.
No, I think this is the only one. So
yeah.
Way to start a trend, Marion.
Exclusive.
So it's my favorite part of the photo is the hashtag.
Well, I like the fact that this is a lens flare and probably is a lens flare. I'm including it because it really is a great summer shot. Like, this screams summer, playing in the backyard, sun just dipping below the horizon, and that sort of... this feels like summer to me.
Sure.
So I want to include that. Also, the kind of the muted colors, which is what you get when the sun hits your lens like that.
Definitely.
All right. Let's have a look at our submissions.
Okay.
Now, what are your thoughts? What were your thoughts on this challenge, this summer one, this month?
That I have a few days to do it. We haven't really had a lot of summer, so it's been summer in the last week, but
okay.
I've been busy. Ended last week of school for the kids, three nights of dance recital for Sarah. So I had one night, one shot at this when it came down to it. So,
right.
Yeah, mine is not as summery as I would have liked it to be.
Sure.
Just going out and shooting summer, my first thought was like, you know, water balloons or something like that. Something that, you know, with in a perfect world, I've already did a Jack shooting a water gun a few weeks ago, so I didn't want that, but I kind of thought if I could somehow get both of my kids into some kind of water balloon fight, that would be a good situation. Or you know, running through a sprinkler or jumping into a pool, like all these things have kind of been covered, or definitely the kid jumping into the pool, mm-hmm. but we haven't gotten to that point in our summer yet. So this was slightly early for me to capture our summer.
Besides that, remember, this is like approximately the 331st challenge photo that we've done.
Right.
And so there tends to be overlap.
Yeah.
And when it comes to the monthly ones, I kind of put a little pressure on myself.
Okay.
A little added pressure to do well. And
just because you've had more time? Is that the...
I think that's the idea, that we've kind of opened this up and we say, hey, you have a whole month to do it.
Now, if you issued summer for all of July, I think you'd have the right to put more pressure on yourself. But issuing it for the end of June is a little tough because it just hasn't been that much of summer yet.
So you're saying we should do it again?
No.
I'll do it again.
I can do better. I'm sure I can do better.
Okay. But, well, no, I know I can too. That's the thing. Is so I found this really challenging, and we've had decent summer weather, but I find that now that my kids are this age, 3 and 6, I find I have my camera around less often in these quote unquote great photo moments than I used to.
Right.
I think because I'm more hands on, like now that both my kids are sort of, you know, mobile, and I don't mean mobile because they've been walking for, you know, a couple of years now, my son, but just in general, they're all over the place, and so we don't really play a zone defense anymore as parents. It's a man to man, and so I don't really have the time to just sit back and photograph what's happening. I'm kind of involved in everything,
right,
and. Also, in certain moments, like when I thought about summer, I was like, oh, yeah, you know, you think, oh, it's going to be golden hour. It's late summer evenings on the porch drinking lemonade and the sun's setting. It's going to be beautiful. But the reality is most of my life does revolve around two things. It's my kids and baseball right now, and more so my kids. And so I've shot the heck out of baseball. I didn't want to do that.
Yeah, same with me. I didn't want to do baseball.
And my kids are not usually awake at, you know, when the sun's a magic hour, which is like 10 o'clock right now, because it's the longest day of the year kind of thing. So I found this one really, really challenging. Although we were at an event last week, after the podcast last week, there was a little event in our village, and the kids were up late, but like till 11 o'clock at night. But there was still nothing to shoot. Like it was great. It was nice. It was a nice time of evening. There was nothing that screamed summer. So I did find this very, very, very challenging. So I shot mine today, like 2 hours before we recorded. I had the whole month to do it, just like I'm in junior high again, doing my year-long project on June 29th.
Right.
And here I was. So let's have a look at yours. Now, this is going on down at Gary Point, I'm guessing.
Yeah, so I went to Gary Point in the evening after dinner with my parents were in town and the kids, and I thought, perfect, I'm going to get an evening, you know, just probably a little bit before magic hour, but pretty close. I'm going to get a nice evening shot, and it was beautiful day, but it clouded over and we basically got overcast, and so I thought, okay, I'll make the best of this. This will be easy, even exposure anyways, and so my daughter decided with no wind that she was going to fly a kite. So there was almost zero wind. No, like this is a spot where everybody goes to fly kites, mm-hmm. yet there was nobody flying a kite. And she was steadfast in her decision that she was going to make this happen. So she literally was running from one end of the park to the other.
Huge park.
Yeah, it's a pretty long run. She was going back and forth, and as long as she maintained top speed, the kite would go up a little ways. As soon as she would stop running, it would come right back down. Mm-hmm. So she found this to be quite a fun endeavor, and did it a half dozen times back and forth. And so I snapped my photo when I got. I kind of wanted to get the background with the mountains. So when she's going in the other direction, basically you just get parking lot and cars. So mm-hmm. I kind of waited for her to get to one end, and then when she'd run back the other way, I snapped a few shots. And I really wanted to get the kite in the photo. Otherwise, it was just her arm up and not having any clue as to what was going on. I mean, you might be able to decide that what she's holding in her hand was the end of a kite, but I liked this shot because it sort of showed what was going on. And with a kite at this angle, it'll remind me years from now exactly what was happening, and that this is as high as she could get the kite. I mean, maybe a little bit higher at top speed, but it was quite a funny little moment. And this was not I like it more because it wasn't directed by me. This is just what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Jack wanted nothing to do with the photo, so he was playing Frisbee with his grandpa, and all you get when that kid's playing Frisbee is a giant wagging tongue every time he goes to make a catch or
Jordan.
Make a throw. Yeah, he's got we joke that he's like the little golden retriever, because you throw anything and he likes to go run and catch it. Uh-huh. And coupled with the fact that he has an incredible love of dogs, and that this tongue is always wagging when he's doing this, is we think that there's something there. There's mm-hmm. this is a part golden retriever.
All right. So photo wise, I appreciate you made the effort.
Yeah. It's like I say, it's, if this was at golden hour with all else being equal, I think I could have had a good shot.
In 6 weeks, this will be a much different shot.
Oh, absolutely. I didn't get the weather to cooperate. Certainly, I like my daughter's. I like everything about like her position and running and all that. The background's just blah. It's just blah.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, and you and I have both shot photos at this exact location that are 1,000 times better.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. By no means am I saying that this is a good photo. It's an okay photo. I like what's going on. If I could have got a blue sky and I could have got golden light, then I think I could have had a really good photo.
See, ironically, the same with mine. Like I'm not in love with my shot at all. Ironically, if I was to walk outside and shoot this shot right now, it's 6:30 in the evening when we are recording this. The weather is cooperating. We got amazing clouds rolling in and some cool sunshine poking through. My photo would be 100 times better. But I didn't. I looked the whole month about how can I shoot something summery? Like what's going to define summer? And what is it that defines summer? And for me, it was that golden hour, that magic hour stuff. But really, that's not summer. I mean, that is part of summer. That's the best part of summer. But percentage wise, it's a very small percentage. Summer is hot. It's that midday sun. Whatever that looks like.
Right.
And so that's why I ended up shooting mine. I said, okay, I'm going to shoot mine right around, you know, probably 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay.
When the sun is harsh. And so what should I do? What's that going to look like? Am I going to get great colors? No, I'm not. So I'm going to shoot an old timey picture. I'm going to shoot it square, like we've talked about in previous weeks. Mm-hmm. I'm going to add a little background, a little border to it, like they did in the old timey ones.
Sure.
And I'm going to shoot it black and white.
And I'm going to dress up like a cowboy.
And yeah, no, I was dressed like a cowboy in behind. You could, but how did you know that?
That's what you do in those old timey shots. And then you probably carry a musket.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just shout racial epithets at people.
Right.
Because it was cool back then. Racism was cool.
So that's all part of it. Yeah.
Stuff cost a nickel and racism was fine. Awesome. Yeah. The good old days.
And your hat would have a raccoon's tail on it.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did. Okay. Besides my outfit, I just said, okay, we have a sprinkler. Finally, our lawn is ready for prime time. This is the lawn that I planted this year, and so you know the kids have played on it intermittently. But I said, but since we had the two birthday parties this week, it took a beating this week because we had a lot of kids running around on it, tearing it up. It held up nicely, and I said, all right, kids, let's get the sprinkler out. And they were given this as a gift. even though it's completely useless as a sprinkler. I don't know who made this, why they gave it to us. It's probably going to get thrown out pretty quickly.
Okay.
However, I said, let's get it out there and use it. And so my son was not confident enough that he could clear the octopus, so he didn't want to jump over it.
Okay.
But my daughter could. So the rest of it's self-explanatory. This is just the sun, the front-on sun, shot in black and white, the end.
Great. No, I like it.
It's fine,
yeah. The black and white in some ways probably helps with the muted colors at this time of day. On the other hand, you kind of lose a lot of the water. The water gets sort of lost. You see it right down low by the head of the octopus, but you really lose some of that.
If you look for it, you can see it. Yeah, I did sharpen it enough. Yeah. It's one of those things that...
It's sort of there, and you know what's going on, but I think it would pop. It could have popped a lot more, and maybe that's the black and white. I don't know.
It's not the black and white. It's the same in color. It's just that bad time of day. That front lighting with that water. Like I stopped the shutter down to, I forget now, like around 1/800th of a second, 1/1000th of a second, or something like that. Because I wanted at f/8, I wanted a decent enough depth of field. I didn't want crazy because the neighbors have a ton of shrubbery in their yard, and so you know if the neighbors didn't have that, we would have a little bit more separation from the background.
Right. Yeah.
But I also wanted to shoot this at 200 mils, and so I'm a few yards over, zoomed all the way in, shooting across other yards. And normally I would have shot the other direction, but it would have been a lot more backlight,
right?
Which probably would have meant you could have seen a lot more of the water when it's backlit, but you wouldn't have seen my kids in their faces, which is. I kind of wanted that old timey feel, like those old time black and white photos, and they weren't all about backlighting water.
Right. Okay.
Back in the day.
Yeah.
So in the end, maybe I'll do better when we revisit summer this month.
Sure.
So there you go. All right. Next we have two challenges to get through though, because we have the weekly challenge.
Okay.
For next week, which is gonna I'm gonna tee it up for you. Okay.
Okay. Please.
Tell me if I am. Today's June 30th, so it's the challenge is going to be O Canada.
Okay.
Because tomorrow's Canada Day.
Yeah, I hope you're teeing it up for me.
When you're listening to this, it's Canada Day is 48 hours ago, and tomorrow is 4th of July. So happy 4th of July to everybody who celebrates that. Hope everybody had a happy Canada Day, 150 years since...
Yeah, big birthday.
Since it was the country was confederated.
Yeah.
Am I choosing the words politically correctly?
Sure.
Next week's challenge is O Canada. I'll find something here in Germany. I'll make something. Meanwhile, our July monthly challenge, I had deep depth of field written down. But we're going to do summer part
again,
two.
Redo.
Yeah. So we'll put deep depth of field down for another time. I can't believe it's only, on the seventh monthly photo challenge. We're already repeating.
Yeah.
But that's because we're bad at this.
Yeah.
So it is. It's summer, part two. All right, Adam, websites. Where can people go to find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca.
Look for all his summer photos there.
Yeah.
It's that because in inspiration for this, I went back and looked at previous year's summer photos, and they are way better.
Okay.
Like stuff we shot at Magic Hour with your kids and my kids down at Spanish Banks, for example.
Right.
Much better.
Yeah, agreed.
So, yeah, not living up to potential. You can find my stuff at alanatridge.com and the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can go to find all the links, the photos, everything we just talked about. Be sure to hashtag your photos, your challenge photos. It's hashtag #twohosers monthly challenge on the Instagram. That's it.
Great.
Until next week, get out there and make better photos.